Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast, the number one industrial-related podcast in the universe. Absolute honor that you have joined. And this is where we celebrate you, the industrial professionals, the companies that get it done. You're bold. You're brave. You dare greatly. You just innovate like nobody's business. You're changing the world and you're changing lives. Thank you very much for what you do. We are just absolutely proud that we can call you family. That's right, here on the Industrial Talk Podcast. Heroes of Manufacturing is on the docket today. We're going to be celebrating another incredible company by the name of Cotsworks. That's Cotsworks, founded by a gentleman by the name of Ken Applebaum. Let's get going. So the COVID two-finger death punch just popped us upside the head in a big way. And manufacturing has just grabbed the flag and moved forward. They're just constantly moving forward. They have to. It's amazing how fast they've adapted to this challenging marketing and in this environment. They're dedicated to survival, right? Not just their survival, your survival. They're dedicated to rebuilding. They have to be a part of rebuilding. Survival, rebuilding, and then hopefully prospering in the future. That is what they're all about. They're doing everything they can. I guarantee you, man, I have never in my entire 25-year life, that's a lie, by the way, but nonetheless, I'm going to go with it, seen so much impact of an event in business globally. It's just been amazing. But you know, the inspiring stories that come out of manufacturing has been just amazing. The team at Cotsworks, they got hit just like everybody else that's been on the Heroes of Manufacturing, and yet they're bold. They're just making it happen, and it's just so. It's just an honor to be able to know these individuals, these companies, and the women and men that make my life better. And if you're looking out on the videos, I've got the Heroes of Manufacturing shirt, the official one, ready to go. On the front, it just says HM, and it says hashtag manufacturing hero. And then on the back, Heroes of Manufacturing, keeping the world moving. And that's exactly what manufacturing does, because without them, our lives, it's a bit different, right? If I couldn't get my Worcestershire sauce, I'd be upset. But because of manufacturing, I can get my Worcestershire sauce. And I don't even know how to spell Worcestershire. So anyway, that is what we're talking about here. Now, remember, everything that we do here on the Industrial Talk Podcast is focused on a couple of things. And I want to make sure that you take note. Once again, we're going to be highlighting individuals such as like Ken Applebaum that are dedicated to surviving this challenging time, and rebuilding in this challenging time, because they're going to come out on the head. They're going to be prospering in the future. And that's what we always want to be able to highlight. And many of the themes that have come as a result of this particular podcast and leaders like Ken have been, how do I retain talent? How do I manage my risk? How do I save money because I need to? How do I make money because I need to? What are the things that I got to do, and how do I create a business that's more resilient going forward? And it has to happen. So to do that, we've got to take note, collaborate, not just internally, but externally. We've got to just bring on that humankind, man. Let's collaborate. Let's get some answers. We've got people that want to help. Let's innovate. So we got collaboration, innovate. And how do we innovate? Not just from a technology point of view, which is real important, but also just from looking at your business and how do we innovate all the way across in our sales, in our marketing, in our operations, every part of your business, how do you innovate? How do I educate? Things have changed drastically out there. Where do I get information? What do I do to get that information? Do I just go out on Google and I sit there and they search? Or is there places to go that I can just get really sound educational insights into not just, you know, you've got digitization, Industry 4.0, all of that stuff that's out there. Where do I go? What do I do? How do I sell more? How about that one? And then how do I do it with a sense of speed? And how do I get past the fact that I'm going to probably make mistakes, but I really don't care? Because you got to keep moving. We depend on you. We depend on all the industries. We depend on all the manufacturers out there, because you're integral to this economy. You're integral to lives, families. Oh, it goes on, and it's global. Not just your little part of the world. It's a global impact. So keep that in mind. Always continue to try to look at options for just surviving, rebuilding, and prospering. That is a big deal. All right, on to the interview. Heroes of Manufacturing. We feature a gentleman by the name of Ken Applebaum, founder of Kotzwerks. He is just talking about the impact that COVID has had on him and his company, his team, and how he's pulled it together. It's inspiring. Thank you very much again for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. Enjoy, Ken. Ken, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. Absolute honor that you have joined this particular podcast that's celebrating the heroes of manufacturing. How are you doing today?
Very good. Good to see you.
I got to tell you, man, we've had listeners out there. We've been having a great conversation pre to this particular podcast. And this guy's, in my mind, an absolute rock star, not just because he's a manufacturer, not just because he's changing the world through his business, Kotzwerks. Did I get that? Kotzwerks. That's Kotzwerks. But he's also a Star Trek fan, and I'm a big fan of Star Trek. So anyway, hey, for the listeners out there, Ken, give us a little 411 on who you are, where you come from, and why you're such a great professional. And then we're going to start talking a little bit about heroes of manufacturing.
Well, okay. So this is Ken, and I'm born and raised in Cleveland, Ohio. Experienced a little of the United States, but came back home here and started Kotzwerks 14 and a half years ago. Very proud of what we're doing, which is to try and develop optoelectronic products that will change the way airplanes are made and reduce the weight of the airplanes. And it's a mission to change how an airplane is designed and built using fiber optics, with the environmental impact of making an airplane lighter and reducing carbon emissions across the world's commercial airline fleet. That would equal the emissions of the city of Cleveland. So we're trying to work locally to bring about change globally. We also do some work in the industrial and military sectors where we can create products that really advance the look and discovery of things in the theater and how we can make things safer that way as well. So I got about 100 people here in Cleveland, Ohio. We have a company that we've started in Fulda, Germany as well. So not just here in the U.S., but over in Europe, and doing our best to weather the very terrible effects of COVID-19 and see ourselves as a community through that and hopefully make a difference even in that environment as well.
Yeah, that's a big elephant in the room, definitely. And I know that we talked... And I've talked to many manufacturers, and the whole COVID experience has been a bit of a challenge. And that's what we're going to be talking about. But I have a question to ask you. So a plane. The plane is made up of a ton of components, ton of things that make it fly and fly safely. There is still more room, and this is the question, is there still more room to continue to constantly drive down the overall weight so that there's greater efficiency? Of course, if it's lighter, right, it just makes sense. So you're saying that there's still much opportunity to continue to drive down that weight.
So there's two ways to look at it. One is if you took the airplane today and say, how could we reduce weight, right? So that's a wonderful goal. And perhaps a vision of that is an aircraft that is as light as possible to carry the number of people needed and be cost effective and not have a negative environmental impact. So how can we, over the course of many years, not just tomorrow, but many years, say at a certain point, traveling the globe will be nearly neutral in terms of its environmental impact, right? How do I get to, how do I get to see a friend over in New Zealand and not have a negative impact on the environment in getting there, right? Because I'm a human being. I want to go see my friend. I want to go see people around the world and see other cultures and meet these people and do business around the world. But I don't want to harm my planet doing it. So this is one goal. How do I make that happen? The other is, how the heck do I make flying nicer, more comfortable? And, you know, that does mean high-speed internet. It means better services. It means better safety. It means a more comfortable cabin. So how do I get those two things to intersect at some point in the future where I have a great travel experience, but also one that is environmentally as close to neutral as possible? I think fiber optics can do that in the sense that it makes the plane lighter and it enables more services for the passenger while doing it. And so that's what I believe in, and that's the goal of the company.
See, that's interesting because it's there, of course, the environmental and the positive impacts associated with that particular drive, that purpose, that focus. But it makes good business sense too, I would imagine. If my asset, my plane, is lighter, I consume less fuel. I do think it's a better business decision. I would be driving that down all day long just because that's the right thing to do.
And the environment is not simply a social issue. It is ours to utilize, but also ours to protect at the very same level. We can't, we can't simply say, oh, I'll build this new thing without thinking about the resources we need to make it and the effect of it. So I'm a big believer that we need to end single-use packaging, plastic packaging. I think that is a terrible thing for our environment. And I think about our kids and the next generations and how we shouldn't use stuff and litter for their future. Using fuel to power these planes, we've just got to find a better way so that we can go see our friends and family around the world without having a negative impact.
Yeah. Noble, baby. All right, let's get on to the heroes of manufacturing real quick. Now, your company, elephant in the room, impacted by COVID, without a doubt. What have you in your business, what have you had to do to sort of cope with the changes?
It's been dramatic and acute. March 16th is a day that I will remember for the rest of my life. That was the day I realized half my business was gone. And it really was waking up and going, 14 years just evaporated, or at least half of what I've done in 14 years. We've had to change. And the kinds of things we've done, we've switched to a business model in aerospace that used to be at least 1 year, if not 2 years or 5 years, to 2 weeks. And every 2 weeks we reassessed the business. And it was a top-down, the whole management team would look and say, what are we doing? What's working? It was exhausting. I mean, we would start on Monday morning with phone calls across all our directors, and we would make what we called distributed decision making, where we would start and say, what do we know? Get the feedback up and down, left and right across the organization, and then say, well, whatever we were doing before doesn't necessarily work. And we would reassess it. So we had meetings every day to get the health and status of our employees and then the health and status of our suppliers. Coming in. And then the health and status of our customers. And every day in March and April was exhausting. Emotionally, it was just really difficult to figure out what was real and what was in front of you. And I had to do things I never thought I'd have to do. Understanding international law and business, making phone calls to see if the government of this country or that was allowing parts to ship. Never anticipated having to do that. You know, you place a purchase order, you would assume it would ship. And in April, we were literally looking online or making phone calls going, is this country open? These are totally new questions.
See, that is and it was like a switch. Like you said, it was March 16th. March 15th, everything was fine. March 16th, oh my gosh, what happened? And in manufacturing, you get in the groove. You're constantly improving, becoming better and more efficient in sourcing, blah, blah, blah. But then all of a sudden, March 16 happens, and now you've got to just completely rethink almost your whole business model completely from stem to stern.
There was a lot of, I would say, denial. It couldn't happen here. It couldn't happen to us. We got a little bit of an advance notice because in optics, the market is very much dominated by manufacturing in China. There is some optics manufacturing in Asia outside of China. South Korea does very well. Taiwan does very well. Japan. And then there is some in the US and Europe. But we were seeing in February erratic behavior. I mean, nothing we could really go, we know what's happening. You know, one day it would be normal, and then the next day we couldn't get a hold of anyone. It was chaos, right? And we couldn't get good answers. So we were coming in every day in February going, what's going on?
Yeah.
And then I would say certainly by March, when we started to see the New Year vacations extended, we started to get nervous. So we placed orders. We tried to get as many parts as we could. But now you're making decisions that affect cash and payrolls and other things, and you're starting to get nervous. But it was really in March when you saw the photos coming out of Italy and Spain, and you related to them and said, I can't believe this is happening in a modern world. But it hit, and it hit home. And then by March 16th, it was just, wow, this is where we are.
Well, you know what fascinates me in the number of conversations I've had is how quickly businesses are able to adapt and be, and when I say adapt, they're still adapting. Trust me, it's going to continue on. However, there's a sense of nimbleness and a desire to continue to push forward. But I was fascinated by, it's like, okay, it's emergency time. Let's start talking. Let's start to strategically figure out what to do next. And of course, the whole world is burning. We've got to just focus on this. And this is our key to moving forward. And I can appreciate that. How are your people? You say you have 100 individuals working. How is your team dealing with that?
So I think everyone is quite stressed. The anxiety and fear that COVID has created is its own burden, not just the death and disease. The mental impacts cannot be underestimated. I think we've had to be more forgiving on a management level and say we all have to get through this. There is a point in time in the future where we're not going to say life is normal, but we're going to say life is better, and we can get to that point. We did a lot of things, the distributed decision making, the meeting every morning, the 2-week business plans. Anyone who didn't have to come into the office didn't come into the office, and we, like many others, went through the mute syndrome, which is how does video conferencing work, and you're on mute, you know, and we have to tell you. We all went through that, and it was really stressful. I mean, trying to just get an answer of where's the status of a purchase order, you know, it took a conference call, it took more than one conference call, nothing was easy. And we went to a 4x10 shift. And we did that just keeping the manufacturing folks here and trying to spread them out and make them as safe as possible. So what was once one area with 50 people became two areas with 50 people. We did some other things. We put up copper sheeting between workstations because copper as a metal is not a surface that COVID-19 lives on. And so we have this really cool science fiction-like place here. You walk around and there's these walls of copper between people. We went to a 4x10 and the status or theory there was you're driving in early, you're driving home late, you're not around other people. So we tried to protect our employees that way. And we really tried to say that when you come in on Monday, we've deep cleaned the place Thursday night. It's been closed for 3 days. It's as safe as we humanly know how to make the facility. And you can go anywhere in the world, you know, in your neighborhood, and there's risk. If you come into Cotsworks on Monday morning, it's a safe place to go. And that was our goal, is to say to the know, the people building the stuff, because we had to keep the wheels turning. You're going to come in Monday, and it's as safe as we know how to make it.
See, that's another interesting reality. You had to sort of change that whole thing. But for you, you guys are manufacturing some high-end components that are in airplanes, and that they've got to be on point, baby. And I would imagine your facility is relatively clean in the beginning, and so you're used to it. But now you've just went that extra step. It's like, okay, now you can eat off the floor if you want to do that.
We all learned. You see the person getting the wipe, the cleaning wipe, and you wipe it on the table, and then they go to the next table and they wipe the table, and you have to say, hang on, this is a little embarrassing, but we need to read the directions. And you see it says you use one wipe per surface, and you want it wet, and you want to leave it for 4 minutes. You're like, really? We have to deal with that? But that is what we did. And so it was a total change, but I would say the folks here really handled it very well. And everything we did, we thought about how do we make this facility as safe as possible. And again, there's no training here. No one, there's no class I took. There's no one, there's no guide. It was, what do we do every day to make it better?
Yeah. And kudos, because you're one of a lot of manufacturers are saying, I got to do this, but I can't surf the internet and find out directions because it's never happened. So, yeah. That's really very cool. Now, in this whole chaotic world and the uncertainty that exists, and is there any positive stories of your team stepping up and just delivering hope? I mean, that you could share with the listeners.
There's more positives than negatives. I think, human beings will, we will, to quote the famous movie, we will find a way, and we do. We're not going to give up on the lives we have. And the number of people here, I mean, it is from every finger that touches every part that made a difference to the brave step of leaving your house and coming into work to build stuff, to getting up and closing the door and setting up a home office and going to work. We were able to continue. And so today we are at an operational level where we are building the same quality of part that we were in February. We're not building as many. And, that's the negative. But the positive is everybody's putting in more energy to make sure that in this chaos, we're still producing stuff that works. People worked all hours. People worked day and night. We got the video set up. The IT department was tremendous there of getting all the staff remote. The operational people coming in and building despite the concerns. Sales, actually still trying to sell and work with our customers and make sure they're okay. And the supply chain management, very much underreported, I would say, of how we all work together to keep things moving. It's a tremendous story to tell there.
It pre-virus, Joe Sixpack, like me, didn't realize the importance of supply chain.
Yeah.
In the virus world that we live in, and I go to Walmart and I can't find my whatever, then I'm all of a sudden realizing how, one, the fragile nature of the supply chain is, and two, how wonderful it is for it to run right? And we were just all of a sudden brought to our attention that this is pretty serious stuff.
We're so connected today, not just digitally, but the shelves at every grocery store, we don't think twice. We just expect it to be there. And one of my favorite stories was, I think it was in the Netherlands, they were selling a bottle of hand sanitizer. It might have been €5 for the first bottle and €75 for the second, right? I would say that, my parents or my grandparents who did come to the United States, they lived with that. that was not a surprise to them. To us, it was a shock that the Starbucks was not open on the corner, right? Everything changed.
Yeah.
And we adapted. And, you know, I think as a global community, we will find a way forward.
Oh, we will. Absolutely. Because people like you, your team, have demonstrated the ability and the willingness to continue to push forward. Nobody's just, there might be some, but nobody's sitting there going, I just can't. They're engaged. They're looking for solutions. They're looking to move forward, and they're looking to put this behind them. And whatever that new world in the future, everybody's working toward that. We still need to fly. We still need to connect together. We need to be on the virtual side. And I'm telling you, thank you for what you are doing. We've got to wrap it up, but thank you for you and your team, Ken, for what you do. And you keep at it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Well, there's a great crew here that has endured it and continues to do so. And we're not just standing still and saying, what did we have? We're looking forward and saying, what can we create that's different? So everything from our website to our marketing, our sales, our manufacturing, we're trying to find ways to adapt to it and still produce the stuff we did and keep people employed and building things.
I like it. I like your passion. I like exactly what you're doing. And fortunately for me, I like the realness because we can't proceed forward. And granted, this has been a two-finger death punch for a lot of companies. And I like the fact that you are real and that you're saying, yeah, it's challenging, but we can prevail and hopefully, you know, succeed into the future. Ken, thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk podcast and sharing your insights into just manufacturing in general. You definitely are a hero of manufacturing in my book. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks for inviting me on the show, and I appreciate all that you're doing out there of spreading the word and the message. So good luck.
Thank you very much. And you listeners, you know, we're going to provide all of the contact information you need to get a hold of this gentleman if you have any questions. So stay tuned. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right. Once again, thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast, where we celebrate the heroes of manufacturing. Hashtag manufacturing heroes. Find it out there on LinkedIn. I'm telling you, man, people like Ken and other manufacturers, they're innovative. They are strong and they are focused and they are just dedicated to surviving, rebuilding, and definitely prospering, not just for them, but for everybody that's involved and in sort of in their family. Thank you very much to Ken and team Kotzwerks for what they do. Thank you, thank you, and okay, thank you. Most definitely. Okay, once again, got to collaborate, right? Come on, reach out. Come on, reach out. You got to innovate. You got to find solutions associated with that. You've got to not just be innovative when it comes to your operations, but what are you doing differently from sales and marketing? What are you doing from a leadership point of view? You got to educate. You got to change things up. You got to do it. We depend on you. This is so important. You guys are heroes. Every single one that listens to this podcast are absolute heroes, and we thank you each and every day. All right. We got another interview coming up just right around the corner. It's going to be a Heroes of Manufacturing. We're going to be talking e-Kaizen with Freudenberg Medical. Be bold, be brave, dare greatly. Change the world. That's what you guys are doing. Thank you very much. Take care.